When you started saying it, I'm like boom mics. We're not getting a boom mic for podcasting.
Yes. Miranda. Boom mic for podcasting.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I guess I should say welcome to everyone.
Yeah.
Hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. My name is Ashlyn.
And I'm Miranda.
And we're listening to Smooth Jazz.
Stop it. Get out of here. So it has been a week since we last recorded. Congratulations. That's how time works.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, no,
Miranda. Both Ashlyn and I have agreed that neither of our topics for this week are going to be very long.
But we did our best with them. Well, and this is my episode. And what happened with my topic is that I was too busy to actually, you know, delve into like a government cover-up like I wanted. But I still wanted to actually do something. So
Ashlyn's just trying. Making excuses again.
That I'm swamped at work.
She's like,
anyway,
I have a job now. Life's hard. Ashlyn, I go to work too. I'm on my feet 4 hours a day. There's an episode of Hell's Kitchen where this one chef named Josh, oddly enough, is complaining. Like, they're all, like, you know, shooting the breeze or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this one, and they all hate this guy because he's like, I'm a private chef for celebrities. And he goes, I'm on my feet 3 hours a day. What was it?
It was 3 hours a day.
And everyone's like, try 14. What the heck is wrong with you?
Remember when we worked at a camp kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was well over 14 hours. You said you've been on your feet for, what is it, 4 hours a day?
That's a lie, actually. I was sitting most of the day.
Well, then maybe you should at least be careful where you sit. And on that note, Miranda, I'll tell you what.
What?
I'll tell you about the dead man's chair.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I immediately imagined that one chair with the skeleton in it on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
No, this is not it.
It's not also Disney.
This is
a Disney thing.
Cursed chair. No, we're actually taking a break from Disney.
I know, we did a lot of Disney lately.
We did 2 episodes on Disney.
That's a lot for one season. I don't think we did any Disney last season. Did we?
I don't think so. I think you're right.
It's a lot for one season.
Anyway, no Disney in this episode. No, instead.
Except for the fact we've said it like 8 times now.
Whose fault is that?
God's.
You think awfully highly of yourself, don't you? All right. The dead man's chair.
Ah.
I've got some background for you. This is a cursed object.
What if every time you say dead man's chair, I go, ah.
Sure. You do you. In the late 1600s, in North Yorkshire, lived a man called Thomas Busby.
Busby? Well, you have to say it with a really bad British accent.
No, I'm not doing that.
Busby.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Thank you for that.
I've been doing really bad British accents for Josh lately because he hates them a lot. And it's very fun to annoy him with them.
So Busby was known for being a bit of a brute.
Bit of a brute.
I'm actually going to end you if you continue this episode like this, Miranda.
Ashlyn,
what the heck?
You said it was short. I'm trying to give
not that short. So he was a drunkard with a bit of a checkered past.
Colorful language,
and
Ashlyn.
Was prone to violent outbursts on occasion. Busby stayed at a local inn that doubled as his favorite drinking place, and he even had a favorite seat.
So like a tavern.
Kind of, yeah. Some reports say that he was often found passed out in said seat after a long night of drinking. But this was so long ago, so it's hard to corroborate anything that happened.
I think I've heard of this.
Probably. It's actually been covered in a lot of different, like, most cursed objects out there things.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I've definitely heard an episode about this.
If you don't know yet, you will know by the end of this.
From one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, probably then. Okay. So what is known for sure is that Busby married one Elizabeth Audie, mm-hmm. who had even fallen into business with her father.
Ah, yes. Tracks. Mm-hmm.
So Daniel Audie. So I spelled it here A-U-T-Y, but sources couldn't even agree on how to spell that. Like,
is it like Audie, like the car? Audi?
So it's A-U-T-Y, but It has also been spelled A-W-E-T-Y and A-U-T-I-E.
Okay, so people are literally just spelling it phonetically at this point.
Yeah, like, I don't think they have like, any idea what's going on. He resided in a farmhouse called Dan Audie Hall.
Okay.
Get it? Dan Audie.
Oh!
Yes. So this house was outfitted with apartments that made it easy to keep the true nature of his dealings under wraps.
Oh.
Dan was
in cahoots with the devil.
No.
Ah, man.
Dan was in the business of creating counterfeit coins.
Oh, a shyster.
Mm-hmm. And it is likely that this practice was how he was able to afford Dan Audie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It is unclear whether Busby knew this before or after he married Dan's daughter.
Mm.
Some accounts say that he met Dan by marrying Elizabeth, while others say that he met Elizabeth through Dan. Either way, upon finding out about Dan's illegal practices, Busby wanted in. So the two became business partners.
Okay.
One day in 1702, the two had a disagreement. It's unknown.
As people do.
Yes. It's unknown what exactly the argument was about. Some claim that Dan didn't like how Thomas was treating his daughter.
Oh.
Others say that Thomas wanted to take control of their counterfeit business for himself.
I honestly, when you started saying didn't like, I was like, didn't like the way he was counterfeiting the coins. Like, didn't like the picture he was putting on or something. Like, no, change the nose. It looks stupid. Like, I don't.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of Gravity Falls now.
Why?
It's like in the second. It's in the second episode. Is this like our last family fun time? And then it cuts to a clip of them making counterfeit bills with Stan like looking over them.
What the heck?
And Stan's judging them. And then there's police sirens. And then it cuts back to present day Mabel just shivering and saying, "The county jail was so cold."
Oh my god.
Oh, I love Gravity Falls. Anyway, so regardless, the two had a falling out. It was when Busby returned to his inn that things got a bit dicey.
As I recall, yes.
Were you there?
It's just like the last episode. It's just like your last episode where I was like, yes, in the documentary.
So Thomas found Dan sitting in his favorite chair, demanding that Elizabeth come back home with him. This infuriated Thomas.
Oh, right. The other one's her dad?
Yes, Dan's Elizabeth's dad. So, this infuriated Thomas, and the fighting turned physical.
The fighting. You sounded a bit Irish there.
I'm so tired.
The fighting.
Elizabeth, who is said to have also been present at this time, was powerless to stop them.
Because she's just a dainty little woman.
And also, this is the early 1700s. Ultimately, Busby forced his father-in-law from the chair and out of the inn.
He's like, "There's my chair, old man."
Basically,
you can't sit here. I don't know why he's very southern now. That's how I imagine.
It should also be noted that Busby was drunk at this time. Okay.
Well,
okay.
See? Wasn't this accurate then?
But it didn't end there.
Oh, no, of course not.
So later that night, Busby paid a visit to Dan Audie Hall. So Busby was apparently still angry at the whole ordeal and took a counterfeiting hammer to meet with Audie. He wound up bludgeoning the man to death and trying to hide his crime in the woods.
I'm sorry.
Maybe you should listen before you make comments.
No, I just want to know what a counterfeiting hammer looks like.
A hammer you use to counterfeit coins.
But what does it look like? What is the specific hammer that you use for counterfeiting? I need to Google this. One second.
It's like a little. Yeah, a little.
No, none of this. It just looks like a hammer.
A ton of hammer.
Okay, so he took a tiny hammer to his head?
I don't know the size of a hammer, okay? All I know is that he bludgeoned the man to death.
Oh, my gosh.
And tried to hide his body in the woods and then returned home to his wife.
The key words you just used there, tried to hide his body in the woods.
So, as concern over Audie's disappearance grew, a local search was conducted. And after his body was found, Busby was the prime and only suspect.
And what did his wife do? She was just like,
"Whoa!" There's no mention of Elizabeth after this.
My husband killed my father.
Whoops! What's she gonna do?
I'm just a woman. I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry.
So Busby was, of course, found at the inn, and promptly arrested.
Yes.
So he was tried and convicted of this murder. He was sentenced to a gibbeting.
Yes.
Or hanging in chains.
Like hanging from his neck in chains or like a shackling situation?
So while a gibbet can refer to any instrument used for public execution, gibbeting is a bit different. Oof. It's a practice wherein an executed individual is strung up on a gibbet, which is the executing instrument,
gibbet,
and left hanging there to deter anyone else from committing crimes.
Okay, so
usually they hang there until the elements take care of the bodies.
Oh,
so
that's
like,
gross.
Yeah. It's gross and haunting. In Thomas Busby's case, he was sentenced to be hung and dipped in tar.
Awful.
And was then left there in full view of his inn. There is one written account that exists from a year later from...
It must have really hurt business. I'm sorry.
Actually, not as much as you'd think.
Ah!
So, there's one written account that exists from a year later, 1703.
Yes.
From Ralph Thoresby, who was an antiquary in the area,
mm-hmm.
describing the scene and briefly going over what led up to Busby's fate.
Hmm.
The inn was ultimately renamed Busby's Stoop due to the site.
Stoop.
And Busby's they retained that name until its closure in 2012.
Oh, it closed.
In 2012.
Yep, still.
This happened in the early
1700s.
So, now we're getting into the curse.
Okay.
You know, now that someone's dead, it's curse time, right?
Somebody had to die first.
I mean, two people died. We've got
Ooh,
two
yeah.
dead so far.
Oh, yeah.
So where does the curse come in? Well, some stories say that the curse occurred when Busby was arrested, whereas others claim that it happened as Busby was being led to the gallows.
Okay.
Like he stopped in.
I feel like
to the inn.
Either way, somewhere in between him and dying and
well, there have also been accounts where they say that Busby was granted a last meal at his favorite inn.
Oh.
In his favorite chair.
Yeah.
But in any case, before he died, Thomas Busby laid a curse upon his favorite chair, stating that whoever sat upon it would die.
Yes.
So the deaths.
The deaths.
Yeah.
I've heard about these before.
Okay, so I know we're just trucking right along through here now. In 1894, it is said that the chair claimed its first victim.
Who'd it kill?
One night, a chimney sweep went drinking with his friend.
Oh, no,
but
not
never
the
returned
chimney
home.
Sweep.
He was so drunk that he laid down on the road to sleep.
Not Bert.
However, in the morning, he was found hanging from the post next to the gibbet. His death was ruled a suicide.
Oh, no.
In 1914, however, the friend who he was drinking with admitted on his deathbed to robbing and murdering the chimney sweep.
Oh, well, that's upsetting.
For a whole, like, two pennies he had.
That's really sad. That was his friend?
Yeah.
What a crap friend.
Is that how you gotta say to someone who murders you, like, you know what? You're a bad friend.
You're a crap friend.
During World War II,
wow.
The chair became a bit of a legend amongst airmen.
Mm-hmm.
So, oftentimes, these men would dare each other to sit on the chair.
Yeah.
And those that did reportedly never returned from their missions. In 1968...
It was also World War II, and a lot
yes,
of people
okay,
died.
Okay, yes, fair.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
In 1968, one Tony Earnshaw, who would later own the inn, overheard two airmen issuing this dare to each other.
Oh, they were like, you sit in it. No, you sit in it.
Well, both of the men rose to the challenge.
Oh.
And then... on their way back to the airfield, their car veered off the road into a tree, and they died on their way to the hospital.
Oh, no!
Over the next few years, the chair claimed more victims.
Oh, no.
Numerous people who sat in the chair met their fates via car or motorcycle accidents.
Vehicular curse slaughter.
No. That's not a thing.
I'm trying!
We're not making it a thing. Two bricklayers challenged each other to sit in the chair. The one who rose to the challenge died later that afternoon after falling to his death.
Jeez, why are these friends not good pals over here? They're just so mean.
Because they're dudes being guys.
Dudes being guys. Just guys being dudes.
Gotta dare each other to poke the ghost with a stick, you know? That's the thing.
You go poke the ghost with the stick.
Yeah.
Actually, you can't poke a ghost with a Brandon, stick.
That's the joke.
They're see-through.
What? What? Okay. A cleaning lady.
Oh, no.
Accidentally knocked into it while performing her duties.
But she didn't sit on it.
She was later diagnosed with a fatal brain tumor.
Ah! Is that because she didn't sit on it? She just bumped into it?
She disrespected the chairman.
Oh, God.
A group of builders wound up goading their youngest crew member to sit in the chair over a lunch break.
Wow, that's rude.
He obliged, and upon returning to work,
oh, no.
fell to his death after falling through the roof onto concrete.
Oh, God, why? That's sick and wrong. Do we know how many people sat in it and didn't die?
Some websites say no one. I don't know, Miranda. I don't even have names for these people. I don't even have the years that they died.
We should just give them names. Bucky, Flynn, Charles, Wesley. Stewart.
Okay, you can stop anytime.
Continue.
So after the incident with the builders, yes. Tony Earnshaw, mm-hmm. you know, you remember him?
Hey, you have a name.
Well, he was now the owner of the establishment.
Ooh.
And he decided to put the chair into the cellar where others would be safe from it.
See, I feel like by putting it into the cellar, he would be disrespecting the chair. Did something happen to him?
No.
Hmm. Interesting. No.
In 1978, however, a delivery man from the brewery made the mistake of sitting in the chair in the cellar.
No!
He reportedly even remarked to Earnshaw about how comfortable it was. Later that day, the delivery man's vehicle
no.
would veer off the road no. and crash.
How does this curse have control over vehicles which did not exist when it was placed?
We'll get into that in a second. You
oh,
said
we will.
Well, not really, but kind of. Yeah. Okay, so after this, Tony Earnshaw decided that it was too dangerous to keep on his property.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he bequeathed it to the Thrisk Museum with strict instructions to never let anyone sit on it.
So they hung it on the wall.
Ever. The chair was hung 6 feet above the ground to avoid any Ay. Fatal mistakes.
Hey, I remember that fact.
yes, I figured you did.
No, but that does remind me of a lot of theaters, like, in the back and stuff, because you can't, like, leave all the chairs on the ground and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of theaters, they string up chairs from, like, the ceiling and stuff because they just don't have space for them. So if you're ever walking through, like, the backstage of a theater, if you look up, you may see some, like, floating stools and stuff.
Here you are with your theater nonsense. Again.
I really just needed to clear my throat, so I did that dramatically.
All in all, the chair has been suspected of playing a role in over 60 deaths.
The chair murdered so many people.
It has been reported that for those who did not die instantly, they were haunted by Busby's ghost up
oh,
until
yeah?
their time of death.
Who says that?
They. Some of the sources. That's why I said
more
reported. Okay?
Okay.
I didn't say how accurate the reports were. I just said it was reported.
I believe you.
I use that word a lot in this. So, debunking this.
Yes.
First of all,
it's a chair.
I don't know, Miranda. An awful lot of people died. Despite Busby being hanged in 1702, the chair's first victim didn't happen until 1894.
Maybe it was
which
taking
is
a break.
Nearly 2 centuries afterward.
It was taking a break.
Well, furniture historian Dr. Adam Bowett actually analyzed the chair and found something off about the timeline.
Mm.
The spindles of the chair were machine-made, but that technology did not exist until at least 1840,
ooh.
Which would be 138 years after Busby's death.
Ooh.
It's also Liars. Suspicious that no one can really find any mention of Busby's curse prior to the 20th century. The facts still remain that he was a person
yeah.
who murdered someone.
Yeah.
Died.
And was, yes. And he was gibbeted.
And it's also true that these people died.
Yes.
But we don't know about the whole chair situation
like,
now.
Where did the chair come in?
Yeah, and these people are still dead. So, like...
I'm sorry. What was going to happen when they discovered the chair wasn't from whatever, 1770, whatever?
They would not be dead. I don't know.
You just come out, well, can't be dead.
So why, what is the coincidence here? Like, why
maybe,
have people
maybe
died?
Maybe it's the other guy.
While sitting in this chair.
Maybe it's the chimney sweep. he cursed the chair. Because his rude friend...
If your friend murders you, that is a toxic friend.
Well, could it be that, you know, this chair is still cursed, even if it's not Busby's curse?
Once again, I think it was the chimney sweep who was killed by his crap.
The chimney sweep's curse. That is one I did not hear before.
Mm, always thinking. Always thinking.
I did, like, when I was reading through this, because, of course, I want to, like, try and at least approach it from a skeptical standpoint.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
It did occur to me that deaths from falling and motorcycles and things like that
are common.
Well, they're usually more likely in the event of alcohol consumption.
Oh, like at an inn or a tavern?
Yeah.
Place? Huh. Weird.
Yeah, so I was like, that might have a thing with it. The one that really gets me is the brewery driver.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
maybe he was drinking on the job.
Or maybe, like, some of these are bound to be freak accidents.
Yeah.
Though.
Also, it's a very, very, very old place in England.
Yes, that is true.
Probably has, like, cobblestone paths and whatnot.
Or at least...
Or really small streets.
It's
or
so
thin,
hard.
You know what I mean? Like, thin streets, kind of narrow.
It is so hard for me to imagine Europe.
I know.
One, I've never been there. And two, it exists... Or it existed so far before my entire concept of, like, town construction and everything can even extend.
I'm imagining this very old town has, like, probably cobblestone roads or something. They're probably very narrow, probably very windy, went with, like, a path that people followed and stuff. So when you start adding cars and motorcycles onto streets like that, I could imagine that it'd probably be pretty easy to veer off.
The thing is, I did not, and I thought about actually going in and seeing,
like
the numbers.
Mapping.
No, seeing the numbers of, like, how frequent, you know, car accidents happen in this kind of area. But I didn't because I was tired.
But I didn't.
But could it also have just been a marketing ploy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think people are like... This is cursed. You're going to die. And then a bunch of people did. Because I don't think...
Have you
sitting
met?
In a cursed... Well, okay. I was going to say, I don't think sitting in a cursed chair that you probably will die after sitting in is like a big pull for a business. However, people do be crazy.
Yeah. Miranda, haunted tours and like a lot of people want to go and like sneak into some demon thing. And Or could it just be like an urban legend that people wanted to...
I like urban legends, so I'm for that. It probably definitely is like a local legend, like not true urban legend.
Definitely
kind of thing.
It could be
a true urban legend, except for the fact, you know, the chair didn't exist beforehand. However, he could have at one point had a favorite chair, and then, you know, they just decided that, oh, this one's going to be his favorite chair. We didn't look up what year it was made, but hey.
Or the chimney sweep. Or maybe it was someone else entirely.
Yeah. Anybody could have cursed a chair.
Yeah. So why was Busby given this distinct honor?
Probably because he's a murderer.
Yeah, but, like, there's plenty of murderers out there,
Yeah, but
he
also owned the tavern.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually owned it. Some accounts kind of alluded to him owning it, and then others didn't say anything about that at all. So I was like, okay, I know he lived there, but I don't know if he owned it or operated any part of it.
Fun.
Yeah, that's another thing with things like this. Like, I wanted to cover a cursed object, and I was like, oh, this is one that I've heard about. It's actually got a lot of deaths tied to it. Makes it interesting, possibly viable. Yeah. However, there's so little concrete evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wanted to touch on the fact that I didn't know as much, which is
a very uncomfortable
position for me.
Yes, because Ashley likes to over-research and know everything.
I do. I was like,
I know what deodorant they wore.
I don't even know what years, like, these people died in.
Yeah.
It was very vague. Some said sometime after World War II.
And
I'm like,
when you come over here onto, like, the paranormal side of things, facts become a little more skewed. You know what I mean?
Facts become a little more
fluid.
Lackadaisical.
They're a little more fluid, you know? They're a little more, make it work for you, you know?
So what you're saying is I need to go back into government cover-ups.
Yeah. Is that all you had for me today?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that might be it.
Do you have a cursed chair in your house?
Yeah, I'm sitting in it. So. It's yours.
If so, you can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com.
Or you can look at pictures of my crochet chair. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think there's any pictures of this chair on our Instagram. However, but you could visit our Instagram, A Madder Than a Caterpillar.
And maybe she'll post pictures of these chairs that are not cursed. They're comfy. They comfy chairs.
They are.
But if you have your own takes on this whole cursed chair ordeal, like who do you think cursed the chair, if it is indeed cursed? Then you can tweet at us at Madder Than a Cat on Twitter.
By the way, we do have a Facebook page while we're at it. It's at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what with a period instead of an ellipses.
We have a TikTok that you can follow us on. We're trying to be funny. It's really just weird, but it's fine. And you can find that at Madder Than a Caterpillar on TikTok.
Way to hype us up, Ash. Okay. And with that, I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the cursed chair that sits in your closet. And good night. You're looking at me like you wanted me to say something.
I feel bad for your actions.
I said I'm sorry. What more do you want?
You know,
When will you learn?
Just like I keep telling the kids, Miranda's sorry doesn't fix everything.
And your actions have consequences.